Welcome everyone to Planet 76 podcast. My name is Michael. Troy is here as well. We have our a back-to-back episode where we are both present. It's been a while since we've done that. But trade deadline special episode / episode 133. So make sure you guys subscribe. You know the drill. I don't even have to say it. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on YouTube. Subscribe on YouTube. Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're everywhere. We're everywhere. If you're a longtime listener, you should know this by now. If you're not a longtime listener, now you know. So, Sixers trade deadline. The NBA trade deadline ended today at 3 p.m. Eastern time. The Sixers did make some moves, and they made a good move, some questionable moves if you ask me, but the Sixers acquired Buddy Hield, Marcus Morris, Furkan Korkmaz, and that was it, actually. 3 second-round picks. I thought there was another player for a second, but there wasn't. For Buddy Hield, amazing trade. First of the day, actually, for I think every team in the NBA. I think of all teams, the Sixers made the first move earlier this morning. And that was their really only good move of the day. We'll get into that more. But again, pretty short and sweet with this explanation / reaction. Amazing deal. I have zero complaints. I do wonder if they could have maybe kept one of those second round picks, because 3 first-round picks in addition to 2 players is kind of a lot. But again, it's Buddy Hield. He helps this team tremendously with or without Joel Embiid. Obviously, a lot more effective with Embiid because of the way he can play off of Embiid and Embiid's gravity and the attention that Embiid draws. But still, nonetheless, very great player to have right now. He helps you win games. Good scorer. One of the league's best three-point shooters for multiple years in a row. And just awesome move. Troy, what do you have? Anything to add? Go whatever you have to add. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so first move made by the Sixers, first and best, I agree. Best by a long shot. We'll certainly get into that tonight. The night of the deadline. And so I will say, you were close. It is episode 132. You were close. Classic. Anyway, deadline reaction. Sixers, Buddy Hield. Michael, I don't know if I've told you. So as soon as this trade went down, I texted Michael. I was like, we have to record tonight. I have a funny Buddy Hield story. I don't know if I've told you this. If it doesn't ring a bell, I probably haven't told you, because it will after this. You won't be able to get this out of your head, because every time I think Buddy Hield, I think this story. All right. So as Michael knows, and as many listeners might know, I'm a big West Virginia basketball and football fan. Those two, that school and then the Sixers are my top teams. That's who I follow the most by far. So Buddy Hield played for Oklahoma back in 2015, 14, 13. He was there for a while. But the 2016 season in March, he was playing with Oklahoma against West Virginia. Buddy Hield was averaging like 26 a game in college. It was insane. And West Virginia shut him down in the first half. He had 2 points. I don't even think he had a field goal from the floor. They had a really, really good defense. They were known for it, and they shut him down. And then he still was shut down for the bulk of the second half. West Virginia is up by 2 with a second and a half left. Buddy Hield gets the ball in the inbound and drills a half-court shot at the buzzer to beat them.
Now you're not set up. At the buzzer, McCord on its way. Oh, my goodness. Buddy Hield. Oh, I don't believe it. Hield. Buddy Hield at the buzzer. Hield up into the crowd. Unbelievable. Buddy Hield from midcourt. Less than a second on the clock. The biggest statement of the year for National Player of the Year. Semi-final of the Big 12. Down by 2. Struggled all night.
I go storming down the stairs, and there's a door in my way, and I punch a hole right through the door in my house, in my parents' house, I should say. I was so mad. I like storm outside. I was so upset. And then my friends who were watching the game with me came outside and were like, "You're not going to believe it. He was a tenth of a second too late. He didn't get the shot off in time, and West Virginia won."
Let's see if he got it off in time now. Let's see. You've got to check the replay. We've got to take a look. Did he get it off, folks? Did he get it off? Midcourt. Was it still in his hand? West Virginia says it's still in his hand, was it? Oh, my. Now the Mountaineers are celebrating.
I think it's in his hands, Brent.
It's unbelievable what's unfolding here. Buddy Hield was up in the crowd.
I think it's in his hands.
Oh, my, is that close? That is so close, I've never seen one any closer.
Was it worth it?
For the dough.
And so now they won the game, and I broke a door in my parents' house. This is my first night home from spring break in college. Like, it was a hilarious story to tell now, but like, I couldn't believe. So every time I think Buddy Hield, that's what I think. He's been linked to the Sixers for, I feel like, a few years in a row, like this would possibly happen, and it finally has. I like it. You know, I took a brief look at his performance this season. Numbers are a little down point-wise, but so are his shot attempts and minutes, like, because I guess of how, you know, considerably well the Pacers have played and how many pieces they have, his numbers have been down, but you got to like the possibility of what he can do now with the Sixers and, like you said, with Joel Embiid. So I had to share that story. That's when I think Buddy Hield, my dad, before like 20 minutes were recorded, he sent me the words Buddy Hield and a door emoji. Like, that's just what he, like, that's all our family thinks about when we hear the words Buddy Hield. So anyway, you can tell us about the rest of the Sixers moves today. We'll talk about it from there.
Yeah, I mean, or wait, what was the last part? I missed that last part.
Just what else we did today, what other moves, and we'll break those down too.
Yeah. I'm still trying to rationalize what the Sixers did today outside of the Buddy Hield trade. They traded Jaden Springer to the Boston Celtics for a second round pick. One singular second round pick. Not two, one. And it was a second round pick. And let's just pause right there, because not only did they trade three in the Buddy Hield trade, but how is Jaden Springer only worth a first-round pick? I'm sorry, a second-round pick. And why to the Celtics, of all teams?
Thank you.
A team that already has some really elite perimeter defenders, you add another one. And even though he may not get a ton of minutes to start, you're still giving them another really good, with potential to be like elite perimeter defender, a rival, a conference rival, but also just a rival, their main rival. Why would you do that? I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know. He's 21. Jaden Springer is still 21 years old. I guess the organization is just not high on him. I guess they just don't see a future here with him. And I don't really understand, even if that's the case, why not keep him? If you're going to sell so low on him for a second round pick, you may as well just keep him at that point. And there's, why not have him stay? Because he helps you. He's a great player to have, especially now. Let him get some run now that there's so many, or I should say there's a huge gap in the roster. Let Jaden Springer play some more. Maybe he helps you. Maybe he can, you know, give you something in those minutes. And he has been. He was. On Monday, he played so well. On Wednesday, right, or at Tuesday, he played so well against the Warriors. I don't know. I'm just really confused. I'm kind of puzzled. And I've never found myself saying that about a move that Daryl Morey made. In fact, for the most part, I've really agreed with everything he's done since he's gotten here, especially trade-wise. But this and the move in which they traded Patrick Beverley for Cameron Payne and a second-round pick, a lot of people have told me that Cameron Payne is better than Patrick Beverley. I'm not so convinced. I think Patrick Beverley's better. I prefer to have Patrick Beverley defensively, and I prefer his defense over whatever else Cameron Payne gives you. I am very confused because, for starters, apparently Patrick Beverley said, Daryl Morey said he wouldn't trade Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley apparently said that's on his podcast. I'm not entirely sure, you know, the legitimacy of that. I didn't listen. I don't really watch his podcast, full disclosure. I don't listen to that. But again, it's a business, so I get it. Patrick Beverley understands that. He's a smart dude. But at the same time, why do you trade him, and why for Cameron Payne, a player who's been bouncing around even more than Patrick Beverley the past couple years? I just don't I don't really like it. I definitely don't love it. I'm not as confused by this as I am with the Jaden Springer trade, but I'm still confused because Patrick Beverley brought so much to this team, both from an attitude perspective, but also an individual player ability perspective. He could do things for you on the floor that were valuable: defend, rebound, get up and on players, be physical with players. A lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys are afraid to do that. Patrick Beverley's not, and it's really valuable, especially for him being a 6'3 guard, point guard, shooting guard, whatever he is. I was really starting to like him as a player, as the things he brought. We talked about it when the Sixers signed him in this offseason, this past offseason. I wasn't a huge fan. I didn't really love the move. I still don't love it, but I'm way more on it than I was before, and I was really starting to like Patrick Beverley, what he brought, the energy, the attitude. I was really starting to like it, and then it's over, just like that.
Yeah. I'll go back to Springer for a second. So that was the thing. There's two things that stick out to me about that trade that I'm... Forget about the fact that it's Jaden Springer and how well he's been playing, because the last 2 weeks he's been so much fun to watch. One, forget about the fact that it's to Boston even. Like, try and put that out of your head for a second. The two things that stick out to me about this that are confusing is, one, if this trade were to happen on deadline day, like, maybe you could justify it if this was the first move of the day at 10 a.m. because it's like, okay, he's just trying to create some space for a future move. This move happened at the deadline of the deadline. Like, this was a 3 p.m. deal Eastern time when, like, what else are you going to do? Kind of like you mentioned, like, why not just leave him? He's 21, rookie contract. Like, let's just leave him around, especially because of how he's been playing lately. So, like, to do it at 3 p.m. on deadline day and get a second round pick in return is very, very, very strange. And I don't even remember what the second thing was. That one just got me so fired up. But the Jaden Springer, like, that's just a really weird way of doing it because it was so late in the day. And then I agree with you as well. I think that one's the most alarming. But then Patrick Beverley campaign is kind of strange. And I could have just went on the same tear that you went on, word for word, about Patrick Beverley, because he has grown on me as well. He's been really good at certain times with Maxey out and others out, and, you know, just the veteran presence that you need and kind of that mentality that he brings, obviously, to every team night in, night out. And now he's gone, and you bring in campaign, which they're just so different, right? Like, now your backup point guard goes from being Patrick Beverley, who, through the years has gotten a defensive, recognition for what he brings. And then campaign, if he's anything, it's, you know, he does bring some offense, right? Like, I don't want to disagree and argue the fact that, like, campaign's not very good. Like, he's good at offense, but how good is he going to be? All right. So I don't know. And then obviously Sixers, Daniel House in a second round pick to Detroit. creating some space to potentially help us in the buyout market. That was another late morning move right after Buddy Hield. So, Michael, correct me if I'm wrong, but kind of the progression that I saw everywhere on Sixers media today was after deal number one with Buddy Hield, people were happy. They got it. You know, we're going to miss Furkan. We're going to miss Marcus Morris and what he brings, but Buddy Hield's Buddy Hield. Second one was, okay, I can understand. Like, Daniel House, like, yeah, you know, he does some things with his team. He'll be missed a little bit, but I get it. Create some space. Deal number three at 2 o'clock with Campaign and Patrick Beverley, people were like, okay, what's going on? Why are we doing that? And then deal number four to send Jaden Springer to Boston at 3 o'clock. They're like, you have got to be kidding me. Daryl's lost his mind. Is that accurate? Is that what you saw too? Not necessarily how you felt, but what you saw from others.
It's tough because not that I thought he lost his mind, but I was just so confused about the mentality behind that deal. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago, I've always been not the first to like jump for Daryl Morey, but people who are listening know, the listeners know, people who follow me on my page know, I'm very open about being very pro Daryl Morey. I 100% pretty much agree with everything he's done. And I think, again, I think they've all been great moves. So it confuses me and puzzles me now why he would make such a questionable trade. Like you said, so close to the end of the deadline of the deadline, like you put it. What right. was the mentality behind that? It was 20 minutes before the deadline ended. Didn't you have a plan? The Sixers were apparently supposed to be buyers heading into the deadline, and what was that about? What is the mentality behind a deal like that? What is the reason for that? You don't gain anything significant from that. He has a small minor roster tweak, but a second round pick, and then especially after you traded three earlier in the day and you get two back, I don't have an answer. Yeah. I'm hoping that we can get some sort of detail/context from him in the coming days. Maybe if he does a press conference or goes on 90, sometimes he goes on 97.5 The Fanatic, like local radio station, and talks with people on there. So maybe we get something from him there. But I really am just curious what the mentality was on that.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, when all these trades went down, I knew we were going to record today. I started thinking how we can do this and like kind of give both sides. You know, I was thinking, all right, Michael's going to take one side, I'll take the other side. But then I was like, I don't know. So now I'm thinking like, why don't we just, you know, say what we feel and get it off our chest about what's wrong or about what the people are feeling, why people are upset. And then also kind of try and see it from Daryl Morey's perspective and this team and try. And, you know, as negative as things have been around this team with injuries and Embiid situation and all of that, try and see a light at the end of the tunnel to kind of end the episode and maybe kind of justify in our minds so that we can peacefully, you know, lay our heads to the pillow tonight about what the Sixers have done and what's going on moving forward. We'll kind of end with that. All right. So all in all, in comes Buddy Hield and Campaign and 2 second-round picks. Out goes Patrick Beverley, Jaden Springer, Marcus Morris, Furkan Korkmaz, Daniel House, and 4 second-round picks. So 5 players out, 2 players in, and 2 additional picks out, you know, in total. So the people are upset. So again, at 11 o'clock today, there were some positive things you see on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you get your news and major news outlets about the Sixers moves. By 3 p.m., I could not find a positive note. Not necessarily that there's not one to find, but no one was talking positively. Michael, why are the people so upset?
I think a lot having to do with not only the surprise of the moves past 2 o'clock even, mm-hmm. right. but the uncertainty that the moves bring, because you have it in the outline here, the Sixers trading for Buddy Hield means they're moving towards going all in again this year, which makes sense because that would kind of allude to Embiid being back. You could maybe see that as maybe Embiid is coming back. But at the same time, Buddy Hield is going, his contract is going to expire at the end of this year. So are they trading for him to re-sign him next year and just kind of subtly waving the white flag because they know Embiid isn't coming back? Because then you look at the other two moves they made, which kind of tell you they are in it for next year because they get picks and a veteran player who, that doesn't tell us anything. But they get 2 second-round picks. And then it comes back to, why the seconds? Because if it's not for next year, then why the seconds? Because Daryl Morey just traded 3 of them. And he oftentimes doesn't value them. He very often is very much indifferent to holding on to second-round picks and oftentimes not even using them. So people are upset because there's confliction here. There's what are the Sixers looking to do this year? Obviously, you can't do much until Embiid returns, but if he does return, then what? Are they going to shut him down still? If he's eligible to return in a month and a half, are they going to shut him down? What is going on? And it's hard because Embiid, you can't do anything until you know what's happening with Embiid. So I get that part, and that probably contributes to a lot of the confusion from the fan side, from ownership side, from the front office side. But at the same time, they know better than us. They have a better idea of what's going on than we do. So you would think they'd be able to at least operate a little more smoothly. And these moves post Buddy Hield do not tell us that at all.
Yes, yes. Agree 100%. I'll just throw one extra piece in there. Maybe that's causing some confusion, causing some Sixers fan to be upset right now, is you expected deals to be done, but maybe there's a couple players, specifically Patrick Beverley and James Springer, that you didn't expect to be the ones sent off, right? You can kind of see, all right, Marcus Morris, that was a possibility, as much as he's grown on me too. Furkan Korkmaz, I mean, he's been begging for a trade since before COVID. Like, come on, you know, you can see that coming. But, you know, the other names that I heard and read were Robert Covington, were KJ Martin, Tobias Harris, right? Like, people didn't necessarily see it being Beverly, who's a fan favorite, and Jaden Springer, who, I mean, you know, he's been with the organization a while now, and the most excited any Sixers fan has ever been about him has been over the course of the last 2 weeks, and now he's gone. So that just hurts. And he's gone to the Celtics, okay? Like, what else needs to be said? So I think people are upset about that, and rightfully so, I'd say. The other piece to this, obviously, is the potential the Sixers have in the buyout market. Not that there's tons of names that are exciting or going to make the Sixers contenders or whatever you want to say, but the most notable one seems to be Kyle Lowry. A lot of people are kind of saying that that's a lock to Philly. We'll see if that happens. Some other names real quick that I saw in an article specifically on the Sixers would be Spencer Dinwiddie, Bertans, Thaddeus Young, Joe Harris, Seth Curry, and Evan Fournier. Now, the other thing to that is there's not a big man in that. Thaddeus Young, a power forward, but obviously it seems like Sixers are going to have to roll with Paul Reed, Mobamba. I'm not terribly upset with that, but that was another piece that Sixers fans kind of saw as a potential that they would move toward. Your thought now, Sixers have 3 open spots. So what's your thoughts on the buyout market, Kyle Lowry, all of that fun stuff? And then we'll get into, okay, now the deadline is come and gone. Let's justify this roster a little bit. So what's your thoughts on the buyout?
For starters, I'm good on Lowry. I'm good on Dinwiddie. I'm good on Harris. I'm good on Young. I'm good on Bertans. Players who... Lowry's a fossil. I'm just going to say it. I'm good on Lowry. I don't know what... I don't really think he provides a lot of value to this team at his age. Yeah, he's still a physical player, smart player, good shooter, I guess. But at the end of the day, he's been dealing with a lot of injuries, and I don't, again, I don't know how much it's worth to sign, unless it's on like a minimum deal. He's 37 years old. I just don't know how much he's really helping you. And it's same thing with Spencer Dinwiddie. I'm just really not moved by Dinwiddie. I don't think he helps, especially when Melton, Maxey, and Hield are all better than Lowry. Lowry and Dinwiddie. Why do we need another guard who does what they do but worse? We need mm-hmm. a player who can do what they do but better. I think Malcolm Brogdon would have been an amazing trade acquisition. I think he's better than D'Anthony Melton. He's better than Buddy Hield on both ends of the floor. That's the kind of player, if you're pursuing a guard, that's the kind of player you would have needed to go after 6 hours ago, 7, 8, 9 hours ago. And I'm just not moved by those guys. I'm not moved by Bertans. He's a great 3-point shooter, but he can be streaky, not a good defender. Thaddeus Young, again, kind of old, not really that mobile. I'm good. Harris, slow, kind of streaky shooter. Good shooter, but streaky. Seth Curry would be cool, but again, we kind of fall into the same dilemma with Lowry and Dinwiddie is, yes, Curry's a great 3-point shooter, but he gives up a lot defensively. He also has been getting injured kind of a lot frequently. Not a good defender at all. So we need guys who can create and score out of the backcourt. And Dinwiddie can do it a little bit. I'll give him that. I don't want to sound like a massive hater, but I don't. None of these guys move me at all, really.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing too much to be excited about. Do you agree? I mean, it does seem like the most likely landing spot for Kyle Lowry is Philadelphia. Is that – that's what I'm seeing. But we shall see. Anywho, let's – as the roster sits right now, Sixers have Maxey. Depth chart wise, point guard Maxey, campaign, Smith, and then the guards: D'Anthony Melton, Buddy Hield, Ricky Council, Tobias Harris, Kelly Oubre, KJ Martin, forwards Nico Batum, Robert Covington, if he ever comes back, and then centers Joel Embiid, if he comes back, Paul Reed, and Mo Bamba. All right, three remaining spots. So something is going to happen. There's going to be some pieces added, but let's. Let's be glass half full here on Planet 76. Let's be optimistic to end this episode. Give a defense. Give a defense for these moves, or try to, and why it happened and why the Sixers are better for it.
I'll try. The Springer trade doesn't make them better. You're giving up a player for the most part. Anytime you give up a player for a pick, especially when it's a second round pick, that's not going to be very good.
Certainly not this season. Does nothing this season.
It doesn't make you better. I don't know how much better. But that's the thing. The Patrick Beverley trade does not. If it makes them better, it's not much. And the pick is in 2027. So that pick doesn't make them better. Cameron Payne, somebody might argue that he makes them slightly better than Patrick Beverley because he's a better shooter. But how much better does it make them? So for argument's sake, it makes them a little better because Cameron Payne is a much more competent offensive player. Okay, cool. Buddy Hield deal makes them better. Exponentially better. You're trading off Korkmaz, who didn't play much. We should do a Korkmaz tribute episode or segment maybe next time.
Absolutely.
Marcus Morris, again, didn't play much. Really good player. I liked him in his time here. He has a key to the city as well. But not playing much. A little older. You know, was dealing with some injuries. Makes them better. I think you trade 3 seconds, but I think it makes sense. And Buddy Hield is better than Korkmaz and Morris combined. So that makes you better.
Right.
All in all, I think the Sixers got incrementally better. Because a little more than incrementally better. I think they got, what's in between incrementally and significantly? Decently better?
Marginally.
Marginally.
They got better, but not a whole lot better. Like, not enough to where even when Embiid comes back, they're like the bona fide second best team in the East. They're still the third or fourth best team in the East with Embiid, assuming they have Embiid. Right now, they're like the sixth best team.
I know. Huh? Look at what the Knicks did today.
Yeah.
Look at what the Knicks did today.
Kind of scary. I think they jumped the Sixers talent-wise for that spot.
They might have, dude. The way they're playing and what they did today, yeah. It's crazy to say that, but that's where we're at. I'll say this. I think I have one.
Yeah, I mean, where do you stand on this? Like, are you
point?
Like,
actually, okay, I changed my mind. I have two things.
Okay.
One, of all the pieces, of every, forget the draft picks because they're all seconds anyway. Of every name that we've named in these trades, either was a Sixer or currently is now a Sixer, the best player is Buddy Hield. He's a Sixer now, right? So how upset can you be? That's point number one. Point number two is something we've talked about a lot on this podcast is the Sixers' depth. Okay, we talked about it last episode, even with, okay, Sixers are missing a lot of guys, but they're deep, and you know those guys are now playing. Well, those guys that are out there are now losing, right? We're 1-6. Embiid's not out there, and we're not playing well. So I don't know why I was reminded of this, but like so many, many years ago when I started playing fantasy football, I know you've played some fantasy sports in your life. Fantasy football. I was teaching my friend how to play. I was like 11 years old, and we had our draft, right? And he drafted four quarterbacks, and I said, and this is, you know, like most leagues, you can start one quarterback in your fantasy league. I said, dude, you can only start one of those four at a time. There's 17 weeks, right? You can only start one guy. That's kind of how I feel about the Sixers, right? With all their depth, because again, When the deadline comes around, you are preparing for the playoffs. And playoffs, rotations shrink. And their roster before the deadline, if everybody's healthy, which we hope to be everybody healthy when we go to the playoffs, like some of these guys, frankly, are not going to play. All right? So you can only play so many times at one, you know, so many guys at once. And so when you have as much depth as the Sixers have, and they're all NBA-worthy, NBA talent players who, if they weren't on this team or a couple others, they'd be getting a lot more minutes, you're going to see some guys shipped off. It's only right. So again, pre-deadline, let's just, so real quick, Maxey, Melton, Harris, Batum, Embiid. That's the starters. You know Pat Bev's playing. You know Kelly Oubre's playing. You know Paul Reed's playing. That's eight. So for maybe one more spot, you have Marcus Morris, Robert Covington, Daniel House, Jaden Springer, Furkan Korkmaz, KJ Martin. Like for one, maybe two more spots in the playoffs. So only so many guys can play. And so like when you send off five guys and you bring in Buddy Hield and campaign, specifically Buddy Hield, like that's, it doesn't hurt that much to lose those guys because Buddy's getting the minutes. All right, so now you're looking at Maxey, Melton, Harris, Batum, and Embiid. The starting five is the same. Now you have, but you have Buddy Hield and Kelly Oubre off the bench who can do something, right? Robert Covington, Paul Reed, campaign, and I don't know why I think this, but again, with how different campaign and Patrick Beverly are, like maybe it's just from a stylistic point of, okay, he's similar because he's quick and he, whatever, to Tyrese Maxey, he's not similar to Patrick Beverly. And so like when you bring Payne in for Maxey, the whole offense doesn't have to change. Like, cause that's how dynamic Maxey is. And Payne's a little closer to that than he is stylistically to Patrick Beverly. So I just, if we're trying to defend some of these afternoon moves, again, the point is you got Buddy Hield. And some of those guys come playoff time weren't going to see that many minutes anyway. Let's just be honest. So, and again, I don't know what they're going to do in the buyout, but but we got what we got, and that's what I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. I think when the playoffs roll around, I think still having a 9-man rotation of your starters plus assuming Oubre comes off the bench with Heald and Payne, Reed, Covington.
Right.
I'll be just as level-headed as I can. That's still a solid 10-man, if they go 10-man rotation in the playoffs, because you still have advantages off the bench when it comes to guys who can score, guys who can defend. Oubre is a good defender. Yeah. Assuming Oubre comes off the bench, yep. Oubre is a good defender. Reed's a good defender. Payne is okay. Well, I don't know. I haven't watched enough of Payne recently to know how good of a defender he is, but I think that's a good 10-man rotation. I think that's a really solid rotation come playoff time.
I agree. You know, I again, we don't know. You know, we both kind of assumed that it would be Melton. Maybe Heald's inserted into the lineup. I don't know. But either way, if everybody's healthy, Melton, Oubre, and Heald are playing and going to play a lot, and I'm okay with that. And I'm okay with Paul Reed. So with that being said, all in all, the most important thing is the big fella. Like, let's just call it what it is. You said it earlier. You know, this team ain't going nowhere if he's not there and playing. So if he's there and he's in and everybody else is healthy, you now have a better player on your team in Buddy Hield, who can flat out shoot the basketball. So hard to be too upset all in all, with all things put in perspective. You know what? I feel better after this episode. Oh, goodness. All right. I think that's more than enough talking. Planet 76, episode 132, Sixers trade deadline reaction. Buddy Hield's a Sixer, and we will see what happens. The All-Star break can't come fast enough for this team. I will say that. Let's get healthy. See what we can do. All right. That's it. Planet 76, that's a wrap. We'll see you next time. Peace.